It is election time in Canada. You'll be forgiven for not knowing the whole campaign will last just 36 days total. There's an idea. Voting will take place on Monday to choose the next prime minister. It pits the current prime minister, Justin Trudeau, who also heads the Liberal Party, against Conservative Party newcomer Erin O'Toole. This is what's called a snap election. For more, we have Chris Hall from the CBC in Toronto. He hosts a weekly political show, The House, and he is national affairs editor at the CBC. Welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you, Scott. Good to be with you.
All right, question one. What is a snap election, and why did Justin Trudeau call it now?
Well, we have a minority government here, which means that the Liberals didn't have enough seats compared to the opposition to push through their agenda unfettered. It would require some compromise. And Justin Trudeau called this election, which he has the right to do, arguing that Canadians deserved a voice at this point to talk about how this country emerges from the pandemic, to set a path forward for things like a universal $10 a day child care plan, more aggressive targets to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to 40% to 45% below 2005 levels by 2050. These are the kinds of issues he felt would help create a winning condition for him to go from a minority situation to have that majority government, which would give them a much freer hand to push legislation through Parliament.
Okay, I see. So you thought this maybe was a good political moment to push a potential advantage here. Now, as I understand it, there are at least five major candidates on the ballot, but tell us about the two main rivals here and a little bit more about what they're saying. Justin Trudeau for the Liberals, Erin O'Toole for the Conservatives. Maybe talk first about Erin O'Toole.
Sure. He is a relatively new leader elected a year ago by party members to lead the Conservative Party. He has taken it more to the center of our political spectrum, softening some of the harder edges that the Conservatives had on things like immigration, on things like social policy, abortion stands and the like. He has said that we will not re-litigate the abortion issue while he is in power, if he is in power. He's also really, I think, tried to establish himself as still true to some of the rural roots or the more suburban roots of the Conservative Party historically. He would not proceed with $10 a day universal child care and said he would give a tax credit to families directly to them so they could spend the money as they chose. He would stick with the original 30% reduction targets for climate change in gases instead of the more aggressive 40 to 45% talked about by the Liberals and supported by the other parties, I would add. Justin Trudeau, maybe a better known commodity. He obviously was Prime Minister during the renegotiations, the North American Free Trade Agreement. He and Chrystia Freeland, who is his deputy prime minister now, stood up, I think, for many Canadians' viewpoint to Donald Trump and some of the things that he had said both during the negotiations, but also these national security tariffs he imposed on aluminum and steel here in Canada. Interesting, the two of them, Trudeau and O'Toole, have some very fundamental differences when it comes to foreign policy. Erin O'Toole would like to create a special committee of parliament that would have nothing but on its agenda but Canada-U.S. relations. Justin Trudeau used to have a cabinet committee on Canada-U.S. relations, now has broadened it out to more global security issues. O'Toole would take a much harder line with China than Justin Trudeau has. He would ban Huawei, for example, from participating in our 5G network. The Liberal government of the day still trying to make a decision on that.
So a lot of substance on the agenda here. But for a moment, I have to ask you about Gravelgate. Last week on the campaign trail, Justin Trudeau said, "I'm not going to back down from anti-vaxxer mobs." And then what appeared to be an anti-vaxxer mob threw gravel at him as he was boarding a bus. How's that all played?
Yeah, and an individual has been charged for throwing the gravel at him. He wasn't hurt, just in case your audience was worried about that. Look, it's been an interesting dynamic. There is a strong but relatively small persistent audience that's opposed to mandatory vaccinations or vaccine passports that we're talking about here that would require – that people would be required to go to non-essential services, for example, to a pub or to a theater or to a sporting event. And this has been a very vocal and very un-Canadian kind of protest movement insofar as that the people who have been showing up are shouting, in some cases, racial epithets at some of the security around him. They have been very vocal in casting aspersions on him and the kind of language they have used, profanity, that we're not really accustomed to in this country. He has begun to push back, Justin Trudeau. I'm not sure how ultimately it will play out in the election campaign in terms of voters' choices on Monday, but there are some people who believe that it was about time that he did fight back and to tell people you are holding us back as a country being able to have the kinds of vaccination rates that will allow us to open up the economy more quickly. So it's become a bit of an issue. And I would point out that Erin O'Toole and every other candidate has condemned the violence, condemned the language that's been used at these campaign stops where protesters have confronted him.
All right. And very quickly, Chris, this could be close. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's really close. The polls show a statistical dead heat. I will say, just to bore people for a second, the Liberals have a better chance in getting more seats with the same level of popular support because their vote is more efficient. The Conservatives tend to win some ridings by huge margins and lose others by very narrow ones.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Can win the popular vote and still not capture the parliament. That is Chris Hall at CBC, where he is National Affairs Editor and host of the show The House. Chris, thank you.
Thanks, Scott.